Sure, Charlene.
I am Charlene. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I'm totally intimidated to be within the company I'm keeping today. I mean, what speakers, what amazing recovery, let me just tell you that I got on at like 12:15 because I wanted to see if the Zoom would work. I had to make myself go and like put my face on and put on a shirt about like half an hour ago. I've been like, my butt has been glued to this chair. It's just been amazing to hear all these wonderful speakers. Thank you so much. And Maddie, I didn't know the panel was about service. It said, why we stay. So I don't know if I'm gonna be kicking it off the right way, but so I came to Al-Anon through AA. My sponsor said, you need Al-Anon. And at the time in New York, there were double winners meetings. That's before double winners got disbanded, because it's not the fourth tradition, you know. You can't have another affiliation and be part of, you know, it just got crazy. And the real estate, it's New York, so the real estate became a problem. Can you meet in this group's meeting space? Can you meet in that group's meeting space? Just became a problem. But before that, I got a couple years of sitting in rooms with people that were, for the most part, ACOA with, you know, substance that grew up and had substance abuse problems. It's really great listening to the parents just now. And, you know, it was the East Village, okay? So, no, it never occurred to me that I was in some kind of homogenized place, because there were transvestites, transsexuals, Black, white, Asian. It was the artist community. It was just really wonderful and inclusive, very, very inclusive. Now everybody says diverse, but back then it was the 90s, and we were saying inclusive, you know. And I don't know what my anniversary is, but I do remember that I had a panic attack at work, because I worked for a place where everything was on databases, and they were all talking about Y2K. So I know it was 1999, but I don't really remember. I remember going into my Al-Anon meeting and talking about how fearful I had become listening to these people talk. And that, you know, once again, the end of the world was coming. You know, it's always coming. And thank God it never gets here. So, you know, so far. it's just, that's what I remember about the beginning of my recovery. That and the boyfriends. I kind of would measure my life. And when did this happen? Oh, that was the era of so-and-so. Or that was the era of this one. Oh yeah, I was going out with that one. And they were kind of interchangeable in that they were all unavailable, dishonest, and fed into my feelings of being unlovable. And that's what I was doing, you know. That's what I was doing all through my teens. That's what I was doing in my 20s. That's what I was doing in my 30s. I just kind of stopped in my 40s. I was like, I'm kind of done. Probably, I say it like that, but probably my program kicked in. You know, I come from a long, long tradition of alcoholic homes, grandparents, parents, my father, and because my alcoholism manifested so young, and thank God I got into recovery young in my 20s, I was the designated problem in the family, in this generation. And now I get to watch the progression of my siblings. It's very painful. You know, and I wanted to tell the story. The first time I got the laugh that I knew I needed to be an Al-Anon, I was in another fellowship, and I'm sharing about how I don't understand. I'm so upset. I'm so angry. I can't believe my family. I don't get it. I'm going to therapy. I'm going to 12-step meetings. I'm meditating, and they're not getting better. And the whole room cracked up. And I didn't understand why they were laughing. And then somebody explained it to me. I'm doing the work. Why would they get better? I didn't think it was funny. And my sponsor said, you need an Al-Anon. You need to go to Al-Anon. Because I didn't get the joke at all. I was like, why are you people laughing at me? I could not see it. I honestly believe that if I was the problem, then I was the solution. And really, no, even if I am the problem, the solution I was told is always simple, spiritual, and has nothing to do with the problem. That's what I was told. I think Einstein said it. You know, it's not even recovery stuff. It's like genius level stuff. Of course, I don't get that. And it's amazing to me that I'm still here. So why do I stay? Just recently, the lockdown, I was actually relieved. I got to stay home. I got to go to meetings every day. I got to meet people all over the world. Thank God I have a job. I don't have to go interact with people because I have what my sponsor calls Al-Anon foot and mouth disease. Mm-hmm. And I have lost more jobs. And I don't know why. I don't know if anybody listening to this can relate to all to people. I don't know why. I still don't know why. What did I say? What did I do? Something. Trust me. You know, and just being able to, I heard somebody say, you know, whatever's going on out there. Ooh, am I muted? Whatever's going on out there, don't worry about those people because you're 12 steps ahead of them. And I thought, amazing, you know, like, yeah, you know. But the thing with my family never got any better because I'm in recovery. I'm progressing in my recovery. They're progressing in their disease. So we're going on very separate paths. And, you know, I had a moment where I realized I belong to 12-step. I don't belong to, you know, the family of origin. I never felt safe there. I'm an immigrant. I'm from the Caribbean. I came here when I was 20. So the idea of home is very, like, sticky for me. Where is home? You know, I've lived in New York for 40 years, Manhattan for 30. Is this home? You know, but I know where home is. Home is where when I turn on the Zoom and I sit down because I want to check to see if, you know, if everything's working, I can't move. That's home, you know. I felt completely where I was supposed to be. And so that's one of the reasons I stay. Because I feel safe here. I feel completely safe here in a way that I have never felt safe in the world. And from feeling safe here, I feel safe to go out into the world and to present myself as who I am. And so because starting to do Zoom, right, I had to learn a whole new skill set. And one of the skill sets I had to learn is sit down. Because the minute I started calming down in my own home, I wanted to clean because I would see all the things that needed to be put away all of a sudden. So I got back into the notebook and writing down what people say. So I'm just going to, why I say is because I hear things in meetings. You guys are absolutely brilliant, genius people. Okay. And so you say things like the world has its own higher power. When, you know, they're killing people that look like me, when there's like plagues and members of my family are talking about the end of the world again. The world has its own higher power, and it's not me. And it's not my cousin who sends me these horrible things trying to help me, but it's really horrible things that are happening and it's not helping. And people say things like, my good intentions are no match for this disease. You know, I heard that at a share a day. My good intentions are no match for this disease. My intelligence, and I'm smarter than the average bear, okay? My intelligence is no match for this disease. My kind-heartedness is no match for this disease. No match. It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna win, you know? And that's one of the things I heard in here. I put a little tab so that I wouldn't be like rambling for 15 minutes. And then of course I look at what I tapped and I change my mind. That's who we are, isn't it? And my sponsor, ugh, this is one of her favorites. Just because things are not going your way doesn't mean they're going wrong. Who wants to hear that? Not a control freak, trust me, okay? Not this control freak, I don't wanna hear that. They need to change. Everybody needs to, you know, as one of my friends used to say, let go and let Charlene, you know? But no, it doesn't work like that. And another one is like, pay attention to the little victories. The little victories instead of, you know, the world has its own higher power. The little victories, the little things that I do, because I'm Al-Anonic, you know? Once I get over a big thing, it becomes small and it's no big deal. Don't talk about it anymore. You know, I grew up in that house. Nobody wants to hear your troubles. You know, and don't brag. Are you bragging because something's going your way, you know, or you did something well? Basically, the message was and still is, be small, be quiet. And don't point anything out that's going on, okay? That's never gonna work out for you. And my other favorite that I heard that I shared in my home group, and I'll share with you because they liked it. I don't know if you've ever played the fortune cookie game when you go out and you have a big Chinese meal and then you get the fortune cookie and you open the fortune cookie and then everybody goes around reading their fortune cookie and you say, in bed. So it says, you know, a strong man rules the world in bed. And everybody laughs. So I have the other version, the recovery version. And it is when people or the negative adversary in your head says, that's impossible. Or it's going to be really hard to do that. Or these days, those things don't happen. Or that's not for you. You sure you want to do that? Remember to play the game of abundance, which is you say afterwards, like without God. So when they say that's impossible without God, you don't have to say it out loud. Because like I said, I have foot and mouth disease and I'll say it out loud and start a fight. So no, don't say it. You know, I've resigned from the debating society, right? I could just nod my head and say without, you know, that's going to be hard. Like, I want to move, and I have a really sweet little apartment, but it's really cheap in Manhattan. And people say, getting something like that again is going to be really hard. And I just say, without God in my mind, because I believe in miracles in this program. Al-Anon has really taught me to believe in miracles. And I'm going to stop because I'm getting self-conscious. But I want to tell you what my day was today. I got up this morning. I went to my home group, which is today's reminder downstairs. We're the downstairs group. We've gotten so big that we have today's reminder downstairs, today's reminder upstairs, today's reminder the third, and now we have today's the reminder the fourth. And each of those meetings has a significant amount of people in it. And the recovery of today's reminder downstairs rocks, okay? Maddie isn't kidding when she says that. So I went to my meeting from 9:05 to 10:05. From 10:30 to 11:30, I did step work with my sponsor. We're going through this. We're step partners more than that. We're both going through this book, and we're answering the questions, reaching for personal freedom. And then I got on here and thought I was just going to check the sound. Oops. That's my timer. And so I want to just share this with you. The question, we're on the 11th step and we're almost done. And the question was, in what ways has my relationship with a higher power changed my thoughts, actions, and attitudes? What a question, right? I mean, that's why I stay. It's my higher power, and it's about the safety I feel in this room. And the fact that I'm not batshit crazy anymore helps too. But, you know, and my attitude changed first with my higher power. I became hopeful when I came into these rooms more than the other room, because the relationships were killing me. I became hopeful that I could learn to mind my own business, and that I could keep the focus on myself, and that I could be happy. And then I got grateful. I wasn't grateful before, I was just confused. But then I got grateful, and then I decided to allow contentment to be a spiritual goal. And that's why I'm still staying, because I have contentment as a spiritual goal. And as long as I continue to seek it in these rooms, I'm always satisfied, because I'm shooting for contentment. I'm not shooting for you to love me anymore, you know? And I just want to tell you this so maybe I can let it go. I dread the fact that this is going to be recorded and that I am going to be compulsed, okay? Compelled to listen to myself. I don't even want to know, okay? But thank you so much. I hope this was helpful and that I fulfilled my service. Thank you. Thank you so much for saving my life.
Thank you, Charlene. And you're right. This is a panel of wild